Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين If you want to start recording, up to you. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم أنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء نعوذ بك من فتنة القول والعمل طيب إخوان الكرام we're going to carry on inshallah with بدائع الفوائد This is the third session on this book today we're going to be covering the second volume Now, the second volume follows very much follows on from the first volume in that the bulk of the material the bulk of the content in there is nahw benefits balagha benefits and so on things related to these topics which are as we sort of seen quite difficult to render into English in a way that is meaningful in the way that makes it worthwhile for us so the only two bits that were sort of interesting were his Ibn Qayyim's tafsir of Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, which is about 50 pages worth of content. The other bit that was quite interesting was was his commentary on the meaning of Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the greeting of Muslims. So I've decided that we're just going to be focusing on the first one today. And perhaps at some other point, maybe not in the next session, because the next session I want to touch on the third. And then after that, bi-idhnillah, if everything goes smoothly, on the fourth and final volume of this important book. The third and fourth volumes are, as we sort of, if you take your mind back to the Muqaddimah written by the Muhaqqiq Ali al-Imran, where he sort of broke down each volume, the third and fourth volumes were the ones that were most sort of fiqh, heavy, usul heavy, which is sort of sometimes easier and probably more interesting to most of us. So we are here and page 406, if you want to follow, Faida Badi'a, a remarkable benefit, or that's how we translate it. So, قوله تعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. So here, Ibn al-Qayyim begins a breakdown of just these two ayat. And he says, فِيهَا عِشْرُونَ مَسْأَلَةً There are 20 issues that we're going to be tackling here. One second. If I do this, can you still see me? If I do this?
Yes.
Okay, good. طيب. Guide us to the straight path. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ The path of those whom you have favored or blessed. أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ So he says, and Ibn al-Qayyim here begins a breakdown, He begins this dismantling. He begins to put apart, break apart this ayah, and this is a prime example. We're going to see a prime example of what we would say is tadabbur, an attempt to understand these ayat. And it's doing this and then trying to reassemble it that the marvel of the Qur'an begins to actually appear before our eyes. We've all recited this ayah tens of thousands of times, probably. And we're going to see aspects today now, inshallah, that we haven't seen before, I'm pretty sure. So he asks, first of all, why is the bedal? So why is it that Allah says, guide us to the straight path? And of course, Allah knows what that path is. So why is there then a need to say Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored? That's the first question. He brings up 20 questions. Well, some of them we're going to skip. Maybe we're going to skip three or four of them because they're too technical to go into in English. The second question he asks, why is it as-sirat al-mustaqim? It's defined. It's a particular with the al. Whereas elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innaka latahdi ila sirat al-mustaqim. You guide to a straight path. طيب. Or elsewhere, he says, for example, yahdi man yasha' إلى صراط المستقيم, as in Surah Yunus. That's the second question. The third question, Ibn al-Qayyim asks, what is the meaning of Sirat? What is its roots? And why is it in the fi'al form? And why is it Sirat here and not Tariq? Okay, as in elsewhere in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يهدي إلى الحق وإلى طريق مستقيم. So why Sirat here and not Tariq? This is the third question. طيب. Fourth question, Ibn al-Qayyim asks, what is the wisdom? Why is it that Allah says, "Al-ladina an'amta alayhim"? Okay, those whom you have favored. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْهُمْ بِخُصُوصِهِمْ And he did not, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left it sort of vague. He didn't say the path of the messengers and the truthful ones, and Nabiyyin al-Siddiqeen. Why? Why did Allah do that, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibn al-Qayyim asks, number five, مَا الْحِكْمَ فِي التَّعْبِيرِ عَنْهُمْ بِلَفْظِ الَّذِينُ Why did Allah use the word الَّذِينَ in the case of those who have been favored? And he didn't use that in the case of those who incurred the wrath. Why did Allah use الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ And he didn't say that regarding الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ He went straight to it without saying الَّذِينَ That's the fifth question. The sixth question, Ibn al-Qayyim says, لِمَا فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الْمُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ فَقَالَ تَعَالَ فِي أَهْلِ النِّعْمَةِ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَفِي أَهْلِ الْغَضَبِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِحَذْفِ الْفَاعِلِ So, why did he differentiate, subhanahu wa ta'ala, between those whom he has blessed, al-mun'am alayhim, who have been favored, from those who incurred the wrath? So with respect to the first, he said, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ Those whom you have blessed. Whereas with the others, it was al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dalli. So those who have incurred anger without the al-ladina, the fa'il here, al-ladina, those whom. طيب. Seventh question he asks. Why did Allah say, ihdina al-sirat? Okay. So ihdina al-sirat, fa'adda al-fi'la bi nafsihi wa lam yu'addihi bi إلى كما قال تعالى وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. Why did Allah say إهدنا الصراط returning back to him and not إهدنا إلى الصراط? Why did he not use إلى in this case? Whereas elsewhere in the Quran واجتبيناهم وهديناهم إلى صراط مستقيم. In Surah Al-Fatiha we have إهدنا الصراط. We don't have the إلى. Why? Okay, that's the seventh question. The eighth question Ibn al-Qayyim asks. Remember, we have 20 issues here, 20 masail. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ Okay? The question here, those whom you have bestowed your favor upon, not those who have incurred wrath. This seems to imply that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only favored the believers. The أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the first category, those who have been favored. And not those whom he is angry with, or those who were led astray, or who went astray. He says this is an argument to say that the kuffar have not been blessed in any way. So he's asking, is this فَهَلْ هَذَا إِسْتِدْلَانُ صَحِيحَ أَمْ لَا Is this sound use of argument, sound use of evidence, or no? Number nine, he says, أَنْ يُقَالْ لِمَ وَصَفَهُمْ بِلَفْظْ غَيْرِ وَهَلَّا قَالَ تَعَالَ لَلْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here say, use غَيْر and not لَلْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ As in the case, وَلَلْضَالِينَ So we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَلْضَالِينَ So why did Allah say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ and not لَلْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَلْضَالِينَ Okay. The 10th one we're going to skip. The 11th one we're going to skip. The 12th one is, in the hadith, the authentic hadith, we know that the meaning or the tafsir of al-maghdub alayhim, those who have incurred wrath, are the Jews. And the dalleen are the Nasara, the Christians. This is according to the tafsir. Ibn al-Qayyim says, but we know, or he says, but both these groups are both maghdub alayhim and dalleen. So what, in what ways are they different? The 13th question is, لما قدم المغضوب عليه Why did Allah begin with المغضوب عليهم and not الضالين The 14th question And you know while I'm asking these questions For example, if you listen to a fatwa program or if you hear a mufti and you're trying to train yourself one of the things that's good to do is while listening to the question attempt your own answer begin composing your own answer and then compare it to the answer given by the Mufti. Similarly, if you're about to hear a tafsir, think about the question and attempt your own answer. This not only trains you to use your skills, whatever skills Allah has given you, but also if it so happens that your answer resonates or concurs with the answer that was about to be given, it gives you that bit of confidence to say, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm on the right path. Alhamdulillah. And also, there's always something nice about the fact that if you were to say something later on down the line, you hear that such and such a alim said the same thing. There's something about it. I don't know. It gives you think, alhamdulillah, you know, it's there's something. So here, while I'm asking these questions, or while Ibn Qayyim is raising these inquiries, these queries, you should think, okay, why? And attempt answers. Some of them, like this 13th one, should be fairly easy, or should be, yeah, we should be able to come up. And if this was an interactive session, as I would have liked it to be, I would have asked, okay, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Ala kulli hal. 14th question. لما أتى في أهل الغضب بصيغة مفعول المأخوذة. Okay. Why in the case of the المغضوب عليهم, the people who have incurred wrath, it's a passive participle. Whereas with الضالين, it's a case of, it's not المضلين. The form is different. Okay. طيب. Question 15. ما فائدة العطف بلا هنا ولو قيل المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لم يختل الكلام وكان أوجز. Why المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولا الضالين instead of the shorter alternative which is المغضوب عليهم والضالين. So that's the 15th question. Okay, 16 and 17 we're going to skip because too technical. طيب 18 is every believer, this dua is incumbent upon every believer. Every believer must make this dua. Okay? But why are we asked to make this dua during salah, after Allah has guided us to pray? It's something that's been said and done, in other words. طيب, so why make this request, this petition in salah, after you've been guided, صح? All right. So then the 19th question is, why is it ihdina, guide us, as opposed to, whereas the norm in dua is you make dua just for yourself. And that tends to be the norm in the adiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so he asks, why is it in this case, it's the plural. Now, finally, the 20th question is, what is the reality of as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path? Then he says, فالجواب, he begins his answer, Ibn Qayyim. He says, فالجواب بعون الله وتعليمه. The answer to these queries, through Allah's assistance and through what knowledge He has given us, فإنه لا علم لأحد من عباده إلا ما علمه. There is no one has knowledge except that knowledge that Allah has given him. ولا قوة له إلا بعنته. And there is no strength or power except through the power that Allah bestows. Here is a caveat, of course, to add something here. Two comments, maybe. First is, we should put this into perspective, which is to say that these are all ijtihadat. These are all attempts by Ibn al-Qayyim to understand these two ayat. So they're in the realm of ijtihad. There is no way that we can conclusively say for sure, and I may have raised this point before previously in some other sessions, that this is the actual reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this or did that. We can't say that. We cannot say that conclusively. We can attempt as an effort, as an ijtihad, that's the meaning of ijtihad, an effort to understand, okay, why? And so that's the first point. The second point, so take all of this, not conclusively. And in fact, Ibn al-Qayyim in this discussion, although we're not going to, I won't actually touch on this point, he does engage with other mufassirin, Zamashkhari and Suhaili, and he says, no, here, I don't think I agree with them. Ibn al-Qayyim says that. And we can also say this, somebody else can also say regarding Ibn al-Qayyim's suggestion that actually maybe you're not maybe you're not correct, or maybe you're not right after all, but inshallah it's an ijtihad that you will be rewarded for. Point here is, we cannot say, even if Ibn al-Qayyim says this with all the confidence that he can muster, no one can say, and not Ibn al-Qayyim can say, that this is the actual reason. Only Allah Ta'ala knows that. But he's left it to his ibad to ponder upon this, to ponder over this book, and to come up with these reasons for which he will reward for the effort. And if they are correct, he will double reward them in Allah Ta'ala. The second thing is, of course, look at this, look at the technique used here. Ibn al-Qayyim is asking, why did Allah use this word before this word? Why did Allah use this word in this context and not this word here? Whereas the norm in the Quran is to use the latter word. So why is it on this? He basically is digging. He is digging. And he's asking of the surah, a surah that we all read every day, multiple times, he's asking of it, seeking answers. And I think maybe in the first or second session, I said, this is, Yani the more we, sometimes it's a small point. So here we're only picking two ayat. Ibn Qayyim only picks two ayat, and yet look how he's digging deep into it by asking and asking and keeping asking questions. Especially that this is the Quran and not the words of humans. Words of, when we speak, we will say things absent-minded or we won't care about our words. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words are extremely selective. And behind every word and every letter is a wisdom or is something of... is there's a secret, no doubt about it. So let's begin, inshallah, with the first answer, which is أَمَّ الْمَسْأَلُ الْأُولَى. What is the first question? The first question is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, guide us to the straight path? Allah knows who the straight path is. Why is there a need to say the path of those whom you have blessed? So he says, وَهِيَ فَائِدَةَ الْبَدَلْ فِي الدُّعَاءِ أَنَّ الْآيَ وَرَدَتْ فِي مَعْرَضِ التَّعْلِيمِ لِلْعِبَادِ وَالدُّعَاءِ. He says the first thing here to learn is that this surah or this ayah and the surah, it was there to teach us how to make dua and how to worship Allah truly. وحق الداعي أن يستشعر عند دعائه ما يجب عليه اعتقاده بما لا يتم الإيمان إلا به. And one of the important things that the person who is doing dua must do while making dua is to recall those things that are critical to their belief. Now, so then he says, it's almost as though saying, so we are saying to Allah Jalla wa'ala that guide us to the straight path. We have belief and certainty that this is, we are seeking your help, seeking your guidance, owing to our belief as well. You are presenting our beliefs to you. So this is one answer. He comes up with three, four others, but then he ends with what I thought was most convincing. He says, وَفِيهِ فَائِدَ خَامِسَ. The fifth reason why Allah says, why we are asked to say the path of those whom you have favored is, he says, هِيَ أَنَّ الدَّاعِ إِنَّمَا أُمِرَ بِذَلِكَ لِحَاجَتِهِ إِلَيْهِ وَأَنَّ سَعَدَتُهُ وَالْفَلَاحُ لَا تَتِمْ إِلَّا بِهِ وَهُوَ مَأْمُورٌ بِتَدَبُّرْ مَا يَطْلُبُهُ وَتَصَوُّرُ مَعْنَاهُ فذكر له من أوصافه ما إذا تصور في خلده وقام بقلبه كان أشد طلبا له وأعظم رغبة فيه وأحرص عليه على دوام الطلب والسؤال له فتأمل هذه النكتة البديعة. He says, when you're making dua, you've been commanded to make this dua because you are in need of this dua, and that you need to realize that your success and your happiness can only happen through this through these traits when Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning here. So guide us to the straight path of those whom you have blessed. So asking here to be amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. It's almost as though to saying, oh Allah, I'm bereft, I have nothing except what you are blessing me with, and I want you to bless me, to be so you can count me among those whom you have blessed. طيب. So this is his attempt at the first question. Of course, we're all, yani, all of us are free here to come up with other reasons. And he says there are the four others besides this one here, and besides the first one, to come up with other reasons as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, guide us to the straight path. And then he says, the path of those whom you have blessed. طيب. So second question. All right. Why is it here as-sirat and not sirat? So why is it definitive? Here he says, وأما المسألة الثانية فعلم أن الألف واللام إذا دخلت على اسم موصوف اقتدت أنه أحق بتلك الصفة من غيره. ألا ترى. Okay, so he says here that there's a difference between saying, when you say أل, when you add أل to anything, it means that that word is more deserving of all the components or traits or qualities of that thing than anything else. So he says, when you say, for example, I've sat with a faqih, it's different to saying I sat with the faqih. So this is why this is his attempt. And then he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ هَذَا, if you know this, if you've come to realize this, فَلَوْ قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, guide us to a, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, guide us to a straight path, لَكَانَ الدَّاعِ إِنَّمَا يَطْلُبُهُ يَطْلُبُ الْهِدَايَةَ عَفْوًا إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مَا مُسْتَقِيمٍ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ. The meaning of the ayah would have been guide us to any, in other words, path, وليس المراد ذلك. But that's not the meaning of the ayah. بل المراد الهداية إلى الصراط المعين الذي نصبه الله لأهل نعمته. طيب. That's not the meaning of the ayah. The meaning of the ayah is that particular path Allah has appointed for the guidance of His, of those whom He has favored. Okay. وجعله طريقا إلى رضوانه وجنته, and made that path the path towards His, to His pleasure, جل سبحانه وتعالى, and His paradise and His gardens. وهو دينه الذي لا دين له سواه, and this is His deen, and there is no other acceptable deen except His. طيب. So what is required or what is being asked for here is that is a particular thing. نعم. Not something that is mutlaq munkar or munakkar, something that isn't defined. طيب. And then he brings some other things. He says, so why is it then in other ayat? Somebody will say, okay, object and say, well, what is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? For example, in Surah Al-Fath, ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. That Allah forgives in Surah Al-Fath, that Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives your past sins and your future sins, ويتم, and complete or perfect His favor upon you and guide you to a straight path. طيب, elsewhere in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, you guide to a straight path. And some other examples. He says, فَالْجَوَابْ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَوَاضِعِ, the answer to all of these examples is one straightforward answer, which is to say that all of these did not come in the context of dua. In the context of dua, we say al-sirat al-mustaqim. Elsewhere in the Quran, in these examples here, we say they came as reports from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they came owing to some other reasons. They were not dua, in other words. So that's interesting. And then he goes into some other technical bits. Before moving on, he says, that's pretty much it. Hold on. Okay, now that's it. Question number three is just, what is the meaning? What does sirat mean? And what are its roots? And why is it sirat and not tariq? So he says, one of the things he says in answer, this is sirat, and I'm sure some of you have heard this before in tafsir sessions. Sirat for something to be a sirat, it has to have five qualities. The first, it has to be a straight path. It has to be sahlan, it has to be easy to walk on, maslukan, well-trodden, wasi'an, spacious or wide, musilan ila al-maqsood, it gets you to where you need to be. Okay, so these are the five qualities it needs to have. To be something to be defined as a sirat, okay, it has to be straight, easy to walk on, well-trodden, spacious, and it gets you to where you need to be. It gets you to the to where you have to be. فَلَا تُسَمِّي الْعَرَبُ الطَّرِيقَ Arabs don't call a path that's not straight a sirat, or a path that's difficult to walk on a sirat, and so on. So he says these are the five things that define or make something a sirat. طيب. He says then about why is it that in the Quran, elsewhere the word tariq is used and not sirat. So he said, he goes into an interesting discussion. He says actually this ayah that uses the word tariq appears in the is what the jinn called it, and the context of those ayat is that the jinn had heard a message and they had recognized that this is not the first time this message, the contents of this message had been said, okay. So this is not a new message, in other words. And they say, "Inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa." So that straight away they say, "Hold on, we've heard this message before." This message is similar to the message that was sent to Musa. This message was sent after Musa. It's similar to that message. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. طيب, he says, it guides to the truth, this message that they're hearing, and it, and to a طريق مستقيم, طريق not صراط. He says, وأنه, so the jinn was saying that this is the path that's been walked on before. قد مرت عليه الرسل قبله وأنه ليس ببدع كما قال في أول الصورة نفسها. Okay, ما كنت بدع من الرسل. فاقتدت البلاغة والإعجاز لفظ الطريق لأنه فعيل بمعنى مفعول أي مطروق مشت عليه الرسل والأنبياء قبل. I don't know how to translate that. Okay, but the form of the word the form of the word tells us that linguistically it would have to have been طريق because of the, I don't know how to translate it to be honest with you, because of it, basically the formation of the word contributes to the meaning here and contributes to the miraculous meaning of this of the Quran. But I can't actually translate that. I'm putting it here for the ones who can for all of us who can read it and understand it, inshallah. فاختلت البلاغة والإعجاز لفظ الطريق لأنه فعيل بمعنى مفعول أي مطروق مشت عليه رسل الأنبياء قبله. فحقيق على من صدق رسل الله وآمن بهم أن يؤمن به ويصدقه. فذكر الطريق هنا إذن أولى لأنه أدخل في باب الدعوة والتنبيه على تعيين أتباعه والله أعلم. نعم. Fourth, and this is why I put them in yellow actually. The reason I put this in yellow is because I thought this is not one I can actually discuss, but it's understandable, but how am I going to discuss it? I'm not sure. So I put it in yellow. The ones in yellow are ones that I'm hesitant about. The ones in blue are the ones that are fairly clear. طيب. البنفت. المسألة الرابعة. The fourth issue here. The fourth issue is to say, bear with me a second. طيب, the fourth benefit is why الذين أنعمت عليهم. Why is it vague and not the path of the prophets and truthful ones? Why did Allah say those whom you have favored and not those the path of the prophets and the truthful ones, for example? So he says, there are a number of reasons, three reasons. He says, أحدها إحضار العلم وإشعار الذهن عند سماع هذا بأن استحقاق كونهم من المنعم عليهم هو بهدايتهم إلى هذا الصراط. One second, is this the المسألة الرابعة? نعم. He said, the reason, first reason, is that when you say the path of those whom you have blessed your bestowed your favor upon, it reminds the listener and the speaker that that this is a blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whereas if you'd said the path of the prophets and messengers, or the path of the prophets and the truthful ones, the you here, that connection would have been lost. So he says the first thing is when you say this dua, you recognize it's an acknowledgement from yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of this ni'mah. طيب. And then he gives you some other examples of that from the Quran. The second, he says, فيه إشارة إلى نفي التقليد عن القلب واستشعار العلم بأن من هدي إلى هذا الصراط فقد أنعم عليه. فالسائل مستشعر بسؤاله الهداية إليه وطلب الإنعام من الله عليه. والفرق بين هذا الوجه والذي قبله أن الأول يتضمن الإخبار بأن أهل النعمة هم أهل الهداية إليه, والثاني يتضمن الطلب والإرادة أن تكون منهم. طيب, فيه إشارة إلى نفي التقليد عن القلب واستشعار العلم بأن من هدي إلى هذا الصراط فقد أنعم عليه. This is here is basically he's sort of saying two things here. He's saying on the one hand, this is a recognition that Allah, it's sort of the first point that Allah is the source of all of this of this favor, but also and my understanding is it's a reiteration of the first point, which is that Allah is the source of this blessing. Whereas the first one is a recognition, this one is a request. So this is sort of the same point. The first one is a recognition that Allah is the bestower. The second benefit here is that not only is it a recognition, but the wording also tells us that you are requesting from Allah only, solely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point, he says, excuse me, الفائدة الثالثة نعم أن الآية عامة في جميع طبقات المنعم عليهم. He says this ayah encompasses all of those of Allah's creation who have been favored. He says ولو أتى عفوا باسم خاص لكان لم يكن فيه سؤال الهداية للصراط جميع المنعم عليهم. He says had Allah سبحانه وتعالى specified specific groupings or groupings into categories, then it wouldn't have encompassed all of the creation who have been blessed. So that's why he left it general. You know, he left it without restriction. فكان في الاتيان بالاسم العام الفائدة أن المسؤول الهدى إلى جميع تفاصيل الطريقة التي سلكها كل من أنعم عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. هذا أجل مطلوب وأعظم مسؤول. Then he says, ولو عرف الداعي قدر هذا السؤال لجعله هجيراه وقرنه بأنفاسه فإنه لم يدع شيئا من خير الدنيا والآخرة إلا تضمنه. He says, you know, the importance of this dua, that if you had truly appreciated what this dua meant, you'd have constantly made it, and you'd have been partly almost along with your breathing, you know, because there is no good that comes in this dunya except as a result of this dua. This dunya only akhirah. طيب. Okay, let's move on to number five, which is why الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ in this case, وَلَيْمْ يَقُنْ أَلْمُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ, as is the case with al-maghdub alayhim. طيب. طيب. So, why here those whom you have blessed and not those who have been blessed, those whom you have favored and not those who have been favored? Why? He says the answer to this is the same as the answer to the sixth question, which is coming up, and which is basically why did he differentiate between those whom he blessed al-mun'am alayhim from those whom he's who have incurred the wrath, not his wrath, although it includes his wrath as well, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the first reason we come up with is inna hadha ja'a 'ala at-tariq al-ma'huda fi al-Quran, that this is the norm or this is the habit of the Quran, which is that all the good, in afal al-ihsan wal rahma wal jud tadaf ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that is good in this, everything that is good, all that mercy and kindness and everything else is attributed to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, and what is not of that kind, okay, so those things that are not evil but justice, punishment, penalties, suffering, these kind of things, these are not attributed to Allah. We don't attribute these things or ascribe these things to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of our adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of our adab with Him, how we engage with Him, Jalla wa'ala, how we talk about Him, talk to Him, how we speak of Him. And this is very, very important, because I think this is some of the adab. We've lost adab between ourselves, the etiquette, how we conduct ourselves, but we've also, in this day and age, increasingly, you read Facebook or tweets or messages or whatever it is, and you think this person doesn't know whom he's talking about, or he's lost his brain or something like that, because this guy has this. You cannot say this as someone who has adab with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it's one of the things that we are losing, sadly, and one of the things that we need to learn. To learn to have adab with Allah. Adab with Allah means how do we make dua? The formation of the dua, the way we raise our voice or lower our voice in dua, all of this is adab. How we appear before, present ourselves before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is all part of the adab with Allah jalla wa'ala. And how we speak about Allah. So when people say bad, you know, say really silly things, subhanallah. Because some things come to mind just as I'm saying this, things I've seen recently. I think, yeah, this is a big problem. So anyway, he says one of the habit of the Quran is that all that is good is attributed, ascribed to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that are not so good, even though they in our eyes they're not so good, we out of respect or out of the way we the etiquette that we ought to have is that we don't attribute or ascribe to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives you some examples. He says وَنَظِيرُ قَوْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْخَلِيلِ. An example of this, a clear example of this would be what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said. He says الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِ. The one who created me, so he guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمِنِي وَيُسْقِينِ. The one who feeds me and quenches my thirst. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And if I fall ill, he cures me. فَنَسَبَ الْخَلْقِ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam in this instance, he said Allah creates, Allah guides, Allah is kind or provides with food and water. He's ascribed all of this to Allah. But when it came to illness, he says, and if I fall ill, he didn't say وَإِذَا مَرَضَنِي. He says وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. He says and if he makes me ill, وَإِذَا أَمْرَضَنِي. He says فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ, then he cures me. So the cure is actually ascribed to him. And he gives some other examples and he lists a few of them here. طيب. He says the second benefit as to why it's those whom you have favored and not those who have been favored. He says, إِنَّ الْإِنْعَامَ بِالْهِدَايَةِ يُسْتَوْجِبْ شُكْرَ الْمُنْعِمْ بِهَا وَأَصْلُ الشُّكْرِ ذِكْرَ الْمُنْعِمْ وَالْعَمَلْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَكَانَ مِنْ شُكْرِهِ إِبْرَازِ الضَّمِيرِ الْمُتَضَمِّنْ لِذِكْرِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَسَاسُ الشُّكْرِ. So he says, وَكَانَ فِي قَوْلِهِ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِي وَأَضَافَتِ النِّعْمَةَ إِلَيْهِ مَا لَيْسَ فِي ذِكْرِ الْمُنْعِمِ. طيب. He says, guidance is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A favor that compels you to be grateful. And being grateful, or the first thing that one must do when they are trying to be grateful, is to mention who the source of that good was, who basically helped them, or who was basically the source, the cause of that good. So in this case, since guidance is a favor from Allah, it makes sense that Allah's name is mentioned, or Allah the doer in this case is mentioned. And amta alayhim, the path of those whom guide us, hidina salat mustaqim, salat alladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have blessed. This is a part and parcel of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. This is the third reason. He says, inna al-ni'ma bil-hidayah ila al-sirat lillahi wahda wa huwa al-mun'im bil-hidayah duna an yushriku ahadun min fi ni'matih faqtada ikhtisasuhu biha an tudaf ilayhi biwasfi al-ifrad fiyuqal an'amta عليهم أي أنت وحدك المنعم المحسن المتفضل بهذه النعمة. وأما الغضب فإن الله سبحانه غضب على من لم يكن من أهل الهداية إلى هذا الصراط وأمر عباده المؤمنين بمعاداتهم وذلك يستلزم غضبه عليهم موافقة. طيب. He says guidance is from Allah alone. Allah is the only source of guidance. Okay. And so it makes sense that he is singled out. Al-amta alayhim, those whom you in the singular have favored. He says, whereas in the case of those whom Allah is al-maghdub alayhim, those who have incurred wrath, he says no. He says Allah is angry with those people, and it makes sense then for the believers to also be angry with those people because of Allah's anger for them. And so the anger is not from one source, as is the case of the guidance, it's from multiple sources. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, the rest of his creation, including us. And he says it here actually. فَحَذَفَ فَاعِلِ الْغَضَبُ وَقَالَ الْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِمَا أَوْ لَمَّا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْ غَضَبِهِمْ عَلَى مَنْ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عليه بخلاف الإنعام فإنه لله وحده فتأمل هذه النكتة البديعة. So he says, think about this really interesting point. Think about it well. This is interesting. He says, guidance only Allah, or blessing, favors only from Allah. Anger, the reason why it's not singled out or is not ascribed to Allah is for the reasons mentioned before, but also the fact that anger, we are angry because we are angry with those people because Allah is angry with them too. And so it's not just one person or one entity who's angry. It's all of us. But we're not angry with those people, or they've not incurred our wrath because whimsically. No, they've incurred our wrath because Allah is angry with them. And I think he mentions that somewhere as well here. فَمُوَافَقَةُ تَعَالَى مِنْ يَقْتَدِي أَنْ يُغْضَبْ عَلَى مَنْ غَضِبْ عَلَيْهِ وَيُرْضَى عَمَّنْ رَضِيَ عَنْهُ. فيغضب لغضبه ويرضى لرضاه. نعم. That's correct. طيب. He says the fourth reason. He says أن المغضوب عليهم في مقام الإعراض عنهم وترك الالتفات إليهم والإشارة إلى نفس الصفة التي لهم والاختصار التي لهم والاختصار عليها. وأما أهل النعمة فهم في مقام الإشارة إليهم وتعيينهم والإشادة بذكرهم. وإذا ثبت هذا فالألف واللام في المغضوب وإن كان بمعنى الذين فليست مثل الذين في التصريح والإشارة. نعم. I won't go into this one. Okay. طيب. Let's go to the seventh point. Why did Allah say اهدنا الصراط returning it to him and not اهدنا إلى الصراط. So why did you say guide us the straight path as opposed to guide us to the straight path. اهدنا إلى. The إلى here, the to is missing. Okay. To the. And elsewhere in the Quran, the إلى does exist. He says, والفرق بين هذه المواضع تدق جدا عن أفهام العلماء ولكن نذكر قاعدة تشير إلى الفرق. طيب, this point here, I'm not going to go into the full details because he goes into it quite a bit, but he gives us one principle which applies in, and we've seen this principle before, in action before, by the way, which is this. He says, أن الفعل المعد بالحروف المتعددة لا بد أن يكون له مع كل حرف معنى زائد على معنى الحرف الآخر. The gist of this is that in the Arabic language, the longer with every letter that we supplement a word with, that letter, that single letter, increases the meaning. There has to be an increase in meaning. He says here that he says إلى الصراط and صراط مستقيما إلى الصراط إلى صراط مستقيم. He says all these examples, in other words, he's saying that the إلى here will have an additional meaning which we don't need in this case. So it should be إهدنا الصراط المستقيم is the widest or the most encompassing of the adiyah that you can possibly make. Whereas if you were to add ila, it would mean a specific path within the path, if that makes sense. He says it here. Maybe I should just share it. He says, فالقائل إذا قال اهدنا الصراط المستقيم هو طالب من الله أن يعرفه إياه ويبينه له ويلهمه إياه ويقدره له فيجعل في قلبه وعلمه وإرادته القدرة عليه فجرد الفعل من الحرف وأتى به مجردا معدا بنفسه ليتضمن هذه المراتب كلها ولو عدي بحرف تعيين أو عفوا تعين معناه وتخصص بحسب معنى الحرف فتأمل فإن هذا من دقائق اللغة الإسرائيلية. I'm not going to it's going to be difficult, but basically as I said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We are requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the path or identifies the path to us, okay, to let us know, teach us what this path is, make it clear to us, guide us to, inspire us to it, and make it within our ability to follow. So فجعل في قلبه وعلمه وإرادته القدرة عليه. So we ask Allah to place in our heart the ability, the will to follow this path. So there is no harf here, ila, which is a harf, because if that harf was present, it would mean a more narrow meaning. And like I said, try and if you want, you can refer to and read the entire section to understand it a little bit more. طيب. Number eight, which is. Yes. Is it the case that only believers are blessed and non-believers aren't? Anyway, we're not going to go into this in great detail, although he does discuss it. He says, brings you both sides. He says, وقالوا, he says, يحتج بقولي وبقولي اليهود, and he brings some ayat from both sides. And then he says, وفصل الخطاب, the final say on this, or the best thing to say about this issue. Yeah. أن النعم المطلقة مختصة بأهل الإيمان لا يشركهم فيها سواهم. The perfect or the complete favor is only for the believers, he says, and nobody else. ومطلق النعمة عام للخليقة كلهم برهم وفجر. And the totality, this is my poor translation, the totality of blessing is for everyone. The perfect blessing is only for the believers. The most perfect favor is only for the believers. The totality, the mutlaq al-ni'mah, the generality or totality of favors is for every creation, all the creation, good and bad, believers and unbelievers. فالنعمة المطلقة التامة هي المتصلة بسعادة الأبد وبالنعيم المقيم. The most perfect and the most perfect blessing is the one that is attached or tied to or leads to the happiness, the everlasting bliss and happiness in the hereafter. فهذه غير مشتركة. ومطلق النعمة عام مشترك. So that's what he says. It's I mean, it's an interesting point. Scholars have engaged with it, but that's what we'll have to say about it here. Fasl, he says, وَأَمَّا الْمَسْأَلَةَ التَّاسِعَةَ, the ninth issue, which is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say غير المغضوب عليهم ولم يقل للمغضوب عليهم? Why did Allah say not those who have incurred wrath? And he used the word غير and not لا, even though لا would have indicated or denoted the same meaning. Here he says, وإخراج الكلام ها هنا مخرج الصفة أحسن من إخراجه مخرج العطف. So he says it's more important here to identify the qualities, the qualities that led to them being misguided, as opposed to, one second, I don't think I may have mistaken this actually, bear with me. نعم it is the same. وإخراج الكلام ها هنا مخرج الصفة أحسن من إخراج مخرج العطف, وهذا إنما يعلم إذا عرف فرق ما بين العطف في هذا الموضع وبين الوصف. فتقول لو أخرج الكلام مخرج العطف وقيل صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم للمغضوب عليهم, okay, لم يكن في العطف بها أكثر من نفي إضافة الصراط إلى المغضوب عليهم. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى says guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. If he had used the word لَلْ مَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the la here would have just basically denied or wouldn't have basically added any meaning. It would just simply have confirmed that those whom Allah has favored are not those whom Allah is angry with. Simple. But here, when he says the word غير signifies the exact qualities why Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with the other people. And he also here, it's also an affirmation that those who have been favored are not, definitely not, those whom he is displeased with, who have incurred wrath. So he says, and he gives an example that maybe clarify what he's saying. He says, if you say, جاءني العالم للجاهل, if you say the scholar arrived, not the ignorant, there is no, you haven't added anything to the meaning. But if you say the scholar has arrived and he's not ignorant, there's a difference. So he says, جاءني العالم للجاهل لم يكن في نفي العطف أكثر من نفي المجيء عن الجاهل وإثباتي للعالم. طيب. But if you say, if you use the word غير, it changes the meaning from the scholar has arrived and he is not ignorant. That's a different to saying the scholar arrived, not the ignorant. There's a slight difference in the meaning. He says, here is two things. The first thing is, this غير here signifies two things. The first is to say, that it confirms that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has blessed them. So that's a sort of positive meaning. The second thing is that they are not the ones who and the ones who have incurred the anger have not been favored. He says فهذه صفة فأفاد الكلام معها وصفهم بشيئين أحدهما أنهم منعم عليهم. Confirms that the غير helps to confirm that they are the ones who are blessed. The second, أنهم غير مغضوبين عليهم, and that they are not, and that Allah is not angry with them. فأفاد ما يفيد العطف مع زيادة الثناء عليهم ومدحهم. The غير here would help confirm that, or help underscore that, or help increase them in praise, basically, those who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفيه فائدة أخرى, he says, and there's another benefit, which is أن أهل الكتاب من اليهود والنصارى ادعوا أنهم هم المنعم عليهم من دون أهل الإسلام. He says that the people of the book, the Yehud and the Nasara, they have made claims that they are the ones who have been favored, not the people of Islam. So it's as though this ayah is trying to say, فَكَأَنَّهُ قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَلْمُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرَكُمْ لَا أَنْتُمْ. Those who have been favored are others, not yourselves. And it was said to the Muslims, أَلْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرَكُمْ لَا أَنْتُمْ. And to the believers, this ayah is telling us that the ones whom Allah is angry with are not yourselves, but others. فَالْإِتْيَانْ بِلِفْضَةِ غَيْرٍ فِي هَذَا السِّيَقْ أَحْسَنْ وَأَدَلْ عَلَى إِثْبَاتِ الْمُغَيْرِ الْمَطْلُوبِ. So the word غَيْرٍ, the using the term غَيْرٍ here, or the word غَيْرٍ here, helps to clarify that meaning, and it's clearer than to use the word لا. وَتَأَمَّلْ كَيْفْ قَالَ الْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ الْيَهُودُ النَّصَارَى. And he said, consider that Allah here didn't say the Yahud, he didn't say in the final ayah, the Yahud and Nasara. He didn't mention them by name. He simply said, those whom have incurred the wrath and not those who have been led astray or who've fallen astray. مع أنهم هم الموصوفون بذلك تجريدا لوصفهم بالغضب والضلال الذي به غير المنعم عليهم. He says this because Allah here is sort of dissecting or making clear the reason, the particular traits that they had, which led them to be separated from the people whom Allah has favored. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ بِسَبِيلِ لَأَنَّ الْإِعْلَانَ مُطْلَقِينَ فِي الْغَضَبِ وَالضَّلَالِ. طيب. So I mean, I don't know how clear that was, subhanAllah. But yeah, I hope it's a bit clear. طيب. مسألة العاشرة, the 10th point, which we're going to skip. And then the 11th point we're going to skip too. We will go to the 12th point. Okay, here we are. So he says we have authentic hadith that says that al-maghdub alayhim, those who have incurred the wrath, are the Yahud, the Jews, and those who have incurred, or those who are misguided, are the Nasara. طيب. He says, but we all know that both these groups Allah is angry with, and both are misguided. He says, so why are they in conjunction, and what's the difference between them? He says, فالجواب أن يقال. He says, the answer here is to say, هذا ليس بتخصيص يقتدي نفي كل صفة من أصحاب الصفة الأخرى. This is not to say that one group has one set of qualities and the other group has another set of qualities. He says both are, Allah is angry with both of them, we are angry with both of them, and both of them are misguided. لكن ذكر كل طائفة بأشهر وصفيها وأحقهما به. He says, but Allah singled out both groups with the thing that they are most identified with and the quality that they are most deserving of. And then he brings out ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks at the Jews. And he says, then the Jews, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, بِئْسِمَ اشْتَرَوْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بَغِيًا أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. طيب. So he says here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking at the Jews in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 90, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to them, he says, and they have ended up basically بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ, anger upon anger. He says, and then, so repeatedly, specifically with the case of the Jews, Allah uses the word anger, anger, anger. Okay, and then he brings some other examples. He says, and as for the Nasara, and he explains why is it that Allah is angry with them. He says, as for the Nasara, they have been described with misguidance. And he says, the reason why, and he says, he brings you this beautiful ayah. He says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, O people of the book, لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَهْوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. He says, he brings this ayah number 77 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. He says this ayah was addressing the Nasara, the Christians. And he says in this ayah, the word dalal is used multiple times. Dallu, dallu, dallu. Wa dallu, wa dallu. Okay? So the reason why this was interesting is because we are all of us, inshallah, familiar with the hadith regarding this tafsir of this ayah, and that the meaning of the maghdub, or the reference to the maghdub, is the Yahud. Although this hadith, as far as I know, I may have said it was authentic, but it was a slip of a tongue. There is question about its authenticity. There is questions about its authenticity. And I don't know where I stand. I'm not conclusive on where I stand exactly. But the point is, the most common tafsir of this ayah is that the Maghdub alayhim refers to the Yahud, the Talin refers to the Nasara. So it's nice to see that that meaning is backed up by the Quran. It's backed up by the Quran. This also lends to the belief that there is no hadith, there's no sunnah, there's no hadith. Hadith and sunnah is there to interpret the Quran. They do not exist in the absence. No tafsir can exist. No statement such as this can exist in the absence of Quranic backing. It's a very important principle. The Quran doesn't exist, doesn't legislate independently. It always legislates under the shade of, or as a commentary on the Quran, or as an implementation of the Quran. The Sunnah exists in the shade of the Quran. طيب. Then Ibn al-Qayyim says something else. This is just a nice point. He says, when guidance, success, and happiness can only be attained by knowing the truth and putting the truth ahead of other things. وَكَانَ الْجَهْلِ an ignorance يَمْنَعَ الْعَبْدِ an ignorance leads to the servant not knowing the truth. وَالْبَغِي يَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ إِرَادَتِهِ transgression prevents your will from following or seeking the truth. كَانَ الْعَبْدُ أَحْوَجَ شَيْءٍ إِلَى أَنْ يَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى كُلَّ وَقْتٍ أَنْ يَهْدِيهِ الصَّلَاةَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ The most incumbent thing, or the thing that the servant needs more than anything else, is to ask Allah persistently at all times that He guides him to this straight path. تَعْرِيفًا وَبَيَانًا وَإِرْشَادًا وَإِلْهَامًا وَتَوْفِيقًا وَإِعَانَةً نعم. So that Allah identifies and makes clear, guides and inspires, grants success and help. فَيُعَلِّمُهُ وَيَعْرِفُهُ وَيُعَرِّفُهُ So that Allah teaches him and identifies for him, or lets him know. ثُمَّ يَجْعَلْهُ مُرِيدًا لَهُ قَاسِدًا لِاتِّبَاعِهِ And then makes that path the one sole thing that they want and to see, they seek, basically. فَيَخْرُجْ بِذَلِكَ عَنْ طَرِيقَةِ الْمَغْضُوبِ And by doing this, one exits, or one protects themselves from being of the category of those whom have incurred the wrath. الَّذِينَ عَدَلُوا عَنْهُ عَلَى عَمَدٍ وَعِلْمٍ He says, because the reason why they've incurred the wrath is because they know the truth. They know the truth, but their will did not succumb or did not give in to and allow them to follow that path. They know the truth. And as for the others, then they're misguided owing to ignorance and other reasons. So he says, by doing this dua, and the reason why we need this dua is because it protects us from these two sources of misguidance. The path where your will is not in coordinance with what Allah wills, and therefore will lead to another path, and the path of the misguided ones who did not bother to make the effort to learn and were led astray as a result. Okay, let's move on to the thalith ashar, which is, why did Allah begin with al-maghdub alayhim and then end with al-dallin? He says there are a few reasons. One of them is to say, because the Yahud came before the Nasara. A historical fact, the Jews, the people of Israel, Bani Israel, came before the Nasara. The Nasara were a later nation. That's number one. Number two is that in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was surrounded by the Jews and not the Christians. Of the people of surrounding him, of his neighbors, of the people in his community, of the people that he was ruling over, the majority, in terms of Ahl Kitab, were Yahud and not Nasara. That's another reason. He says the third reason is that the reason why Allah begins with the Yahud and ends with the Nasara is that the Yahud's type of disbelief that the Yahud are guilty of is a worse kind than the one that the Christians are guilty of. And, because they know the truth, And they avoid abandoned it. Whereas with the Nasara, it's different. It's a slightly different case. So he says. The fourth reason, he says, it's the best, perhaps the rest reason, Ibn Qayyim tells us, is that because Allah has talked about the favors. Allah has begun this surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, the ayah preceding this ayah is talking about favors. So he says it makes sense that when you talk about favors, you end with the opposite of being favored, which is to be angry. In not, he says there's a difference. He says الناس منعم عليه ومغضوب عليه فكن من المنعم عليهم. He says people are either favored, you can either be on your favored, or someone, you can, excuse me, I can either do a favor or you can be favored, or I can be angry with you. It makes more sense. He says people are either favored or ignorant. He says the ignorance and favor are not exactly antonyms or opposites. He says you need to get the opposite of favor, which is to be angry. You either, yani, Allahu a'lam. So that was an interesting point. Because the say for example here, the first and the second would just sort of come to mind, okay? The third two, but this fourth one, it wouldn't have, yani, it requires a bit of thought, a bit more thinking, basically. Okay, let's do المسألة الرابعة عشر, the 14th. وهي أن أتى, this one I'm going to attempt. وهي أنه أتى في أهل الغضب باسم المفعول وفي الضالين باسم الفاعل. فجوابها ظاهر, فإن أهل الغضب من غضب من غضب الله عليهم وأصابهم غضبه فهم مغضوب عليهم. وأما أهل الضلال فإنهم هم الذين ضلوا وآثروا الضلال. It's why المغضوب عليهم is in the passive participle, whereas الضالين is instead of المضلين. Why did Allah says غير المغضوب عليهم ولا المضلين? He says no, ولا الضالين. He says because the first one, Allah is angry with them, so they are deserving of Allah's anger and the anger of the creation. Whereas with the case of Dalal, it's that they it wasn't out of choice or something like that. He's trying to say. I don't know how to, like, to be honest with you. The point itself wasn't entirely clear. It's semi clear to me. فإن أهل الغضب من غضب الله عليهم أصلا غضب فهم مغضوب عليهم وأما فإنهم هم الذين ضلوا وآثروا الضلال واكتسبوه لهذا استحقوا العقوبة عليه ولا يليق أن قال ولا المضلين. I can't I suppose I can't go into this in more detail. It's clear, but it's, I don't know how to make it clearer in English. طيب, where are we? المسألة الرابع عشر. Okay, let's go to the 15th point. وهي ما فائدة زيادة الله. Okay, why did Allah says غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين? When he says, he could have easily said غير المغضوب عليهم والضال وغير الضالين or والضالين. So he says أحدها إن عفوا إن ذكرها تأكيد للنفي الذي تضمنه غير. He says by using the word لا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين as opposed to والضالين. He says it's just it affirms that point more. It underscores that point more. So غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين has a stronger effect when you're hearing it, not those who have incurred your wrath, nor those who are misguided. Is stronger, has more of an effect on the listener than to simply say, not those whom incurred your wrath and the misguided. Not it has a double effect on the listener. So that's one attempt, one answer, one reason. He says another reason. He gives us four. He says أن المراد المغاير الواقع بين النوعين وبين كل نوع بمفرده. فلو لم يكن بذكر الله وقيل غير المغضوب عليهم والضالين أوهم أن المراد ما غاير المجموع المركب من النوعين. He says without the غير, the listener would have assumed that these are both. You'd have to combine both traits to be you'd have had to combine both traits for Allah to be angry with you, whereas actually either of these traits is enough, and also to indicate to the listener that these are two different traits. And we should be wary of both of them, not just both of them combined, but either of them, I should say, excuse me, either of them, and not just both of them combined, if that makes sense. الفائدة الثالثة رفع توهم أن الضالين وصف للمغضوب عليهم. He says also, you could easily assume if you were to hear, not those whom you have not those who have incurred the wrath and the ones who have been led astray, that the ones who have been led astray is a conjunction or is a description or a character or a quality of those whom you have been angry with. That they are one type. When actually the ghayr here, wala, helps to identify that they're two separate groups. Again, I don't know if that's making clear. رفع توهم الضالين وصف للمغضوب عليهم وإنهما صنف واحد وصفوا بالغضب والضلال. Okay. فلما دخلت لا علم أنهم صنفان متغايران مقصودان بالذكر. He says the fact that we have that ولا الضالين, the لا here tells us that they are two separate categories. وكانت لا أولى بهذا المعنى من غير لوجه. He says أن لا, instead of using غير and غير, so he says Allah didn't say غير المغضوب عليهم وغير الضالين. He says غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. He says the reason why لا is used here is for a number of reasons as well, which is that it contains less letters. Secondly, غير and غير is a bit of a mouthful. التفادي من تكرار. And thirdly, he says it's a repetition. He says now the third is to use غير and غير is repetitive, and we don't want that, or it's easier to use a different word that signifies or denotes the same meaning. الثقل الحاصل بالنطق, which you said, which is that it's a bit of a mouthful. Say غير غير مرتين من غير فصل إلا بكلمة مفردة. وريب ولا ريب أنه ثقيل على اللسان. الرابع أن لا إنما يعطف بها بعد النفي في الإتيان بها مؤذن بنفي الغضب عن أصحاب الصلاة المستقيم. لا comes after a negation, whereas غير doesn't. That's not the case with the word غير. So he says غير here was used in the first case to sort of put a stop. So the الذين أنعمت عليهم are not those who غير المغضوب عليهم. Definitely not the ones who have been angered. ولا is an additional negation, a negation of that they are not from the people of misguidance. وغير إن وإن فهمت هذا فلا أدخل في النفي منها وقد عرف بهذا جواب المسألة السادسة عشر. طيب, let's go on to السابع عشر, the 17th point. Now this one here, what type of guidance he's asking? Ibn al-Qayyim says, this guidance that we're asking, we're requesting, what kind of guidance is it? And then he gives us a breakdown of different types of guidance, okay? He says, there's a hidayah that is general to all of creation. الهداية العامة المشتركة بين الخلق المذكورة في قوله الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Okay, the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave everything its form and then guided. He said, this guidance is the guidance that runs through all of creation. أعطى كل شيء صورته الذي, in other words, Allah gave everything its form, its beauty and so on. وهذه الهداية تعم هداية الحيوان بإرادته إلى جلب ما ينفع. And this is the guidance that's mentioned in this ayah. This type of guidance, the general broad guidance, is the guidance that animals have, you know, that guides animals to those things that benefit them and so on. So that's one type of guidance. Okay. ومن تأمل بعض هداية المؤذن, he says something beautiful, very very nice, subhanAllah. And this brought to mind, you know, those programs they have, David Attenborough and so on. He says, ومن تأمل بعض هداية المبثوثة في العالم شهد له أنه الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الحكيم. If you were to consider or contemplate the guidance that Allah has put forth into the world. This, if you were to contemplate this, it will lead you to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, the knower of the unseen and what is seen, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. وَانْتَقَلَ, he says, and after that, it's an easy step from going from this, from recognizing this form of guidance, to confirming or affirming that the prophethood, Nubuwa, بِأَيْسَرِ النَّظَرِ وَأَوَّلْ وَهْلَ وَأَحْسَنْ طَرِيقُ وَأَخْسَرِهَا. He says, this is the easiest path to acknowledging Nubuwa, acknowledging prophethood. Because, he says, وَأَبْعَدَ عَنْ كُلِّ شُبْهَةٍ, and the easiest and the furthest away from any doubts. He says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُهْمِلْ هَذِهِ الْحَيَوَانَةِ سُدَى وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْهَا مُعَطَّلَةً بل هداها إلى هذه الهداية التي تعجز العقول العقلاء عنها كيف يليق به أن يترك النوع الإنساني الذي هو خلاصة الوجود الذي كرمه وفضله على كثير من خلقه مهملا وسدى ومعطلا لا يهديه إلى أقصى كمالاته وأفضل غاياته، بل يتركه معطلا لا يأمره ولا ينهاه ولا يثيبه ولا يعاقبه، وهل هذا إلا مناف لحكمته ونسبة إلى ما لا يليق بجلاله. He says, so how, because he says, simply reason. He says, when you see this creation, when you see these animals, when you see these different habitats and everything else, and you see how they're functioning and how every one of them is doing what is in their best in to save themselves. And you think, how did this happen? Allah guided it. He says, so it leads you automatically to recognize Nubuwa, because you ask yourself, if Allah has chosen and has given guidance to all of this creation, how on earth then that he has left us humans, his most noble creation, the best of and the most noble of his creation, without purpose, without guidance, without a path he's laid out for them? He says this negates the meaning of him or his name or his attribute of being all wise. So it's a very nice point here. And it, you know, this is true. This is true. And I think, if we were to, and I think everyone needs to do this, by the way, which is watch these programs or just see if you can do it yourself with the eye and observe and have that eye. It requires some training, I think, because we're so far from nature and these things. So we don't know these things. But once you meet people who know these things, you really do appreciate it. So they tell you, look at this bird, look what it's doing here, look at this tree, look, and you think, subhanAllah. It really makes you say subhanAllah, but this time it comes from the heart. This here is the best path to Dawah. We just say, listen, this is the creation. Look, look, just have a look. And after a while, unless you're really a disbeliever, because these signs are there before your eyes, you will testify, say, you know what? Allah guided. Allah must have sent the guidance. And that will prompt you to look at the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the form of messages. So you seek that message. Which message? And that would then lead you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to the guidance that is Islam. He says, the second type of guidance, Ibn al-Qayyim says, hidayat al-bayan wa al-dalala wa al-ta'rif li najdi al-khayri wa al-shar. The other type of guidance is the guidance for the where the human acknowledges or recognizes the path of good and the path of evil, the path that saves you and the path that destroys you. He says, this is another type of guidance. The third type of guidance is the hidayah of tawfiq and ilham, wa hiya al-hidayah al-mustalzima lil-ihtida fa la yatakhallaf anha. The third type of guidance is the hidayah, the guidance of success, or the guidance that leads you to success and inspiration. And this is the guidance mentioned saying yudillu man yasha wa yahdi man yasha. He guides whom he wills, and sorry, he misguides whom he wills, and he guides whom he wills. And in the other ayah, and in tahris ala hudahum, fa inna Allah la yahdi man yudil. If you are keen or keen to guide them, then Allah does not guide those whom he misguides. No. He says this is the third type of guidance. The fourth type of guidance, he ghayat hadhihi al-hidayah. وهي الهداية إلى الجنة والنار إذا سيق أهلهما إليهما. قال تعالى إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم. He says the third type of guidance is the guidance that leads you to paradise and hell, as in the actual path. And he says on the day of judgment, Allah in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those who believe and do righteous deeds, Allah will يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم. Allah will guide them through their faith. The rivers will running underneath them in Jannat al-Na'im, in the everlasting gardens. So this is the types of guidance mentioned in the Quran. He says, if you recognize these four types, or if we realize that these are the four types, then there is no doubt, he says, that ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, is referring to the second and the third type specifically. So they are asking us that, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the sirat al-mustaqim that we're asking here, the hidayah that we're asking rather, here is the hidayah of ta'rif wal bayan, that we acknowledge and that it becomes clear to us, wal irshad wal tawfiq wal ilham, and that Allah puts us on that path. He gives us success and inspiration to tread on that path. He says this is his tafsir, Allahu alam. Then he says he quickly follows up on the 18th point. He says, we've kind of answered this, he says, but let's make it clearer. He says, this dua is incumbent upon every believer, okay? But why is it that we're being asked to make this dua whilst in salah, after Allah has supposedly guided us, okay? He says, the most common answer, and this is the answer I would give, is that this is asking Allah to keep this guide, keep this hidayah continue it, tathbit wa dawam, to continue guiding us. Okay, we keep with continually asking Allah to guide us. وَذَكَرَ فَرْعًا لَا Okay, he says, and a lot of people say this. He says, however, وَنَحْنُ نُبَيِّن بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ أَنَّ الْأَمْرُ فَوْقْ مَا أَجَابَ بِهِ وَعَظَمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِحَوْلِ اللَّهِ We're going to make this, we're going to make it clear that actually it's more than that. It's more than that, and we're going to show this by Allah's grace. And these points that we've mentioned, that we're about to go through, we've covered them before, and I can't remember which book. I think it was the Path to Guidance, Risalat Tabukiya, or Risalat, no, excuse me, Risalat Ibn al-Qayyim al-Ahad Ikhwani. We've covered these six things. He says, and so no point, no harm in repeating them. He says, know that the servant, لا يحصل له الهدى والتام المطلوب إلا بعد ستة أمور. True and proper guidance for the servant can only occur after six things happen. And he needs these six things at all times. He says the first thing is to recognize ما يأتيهم ويذره بكوني محبوبا لرب تعالى مرضيا. He says the first thing is to know, to actually know, to have the knowledge that these are the things that Allah loves and these are the things that Allah doesn't love. So that's the first thing. Okay. طيب. The second thing he says, and yakuna muridan, it's to seek out those things that Allah loves and to do them with determination and to avoid those things that Allah despises or hates and to have a will to avoid, to abandon them or to refrain from them. So that's the second thing. He says the third thing, and yakuna qa'iman bihi fi'lan wa tarkan fa in naqasa fa in fi'lihi shay' naqasa min hudahu bihasabihi fa hadhihi thalatha. So he says to recognize that whenever you you do these things at all times actively and yani not passively but doing them and abandoning the doing the good things and abandoning the bad things or refraining from the bad things, so, and if any of these are lessened, if there's a shortfall in any of these, this will reflect in our guidance. Okay, فَهَذِي ثَلَثْنَاهُ فَشَيْنَا قَسَ مِنْ هُدَاهُ بِحَسَبِهِ So he says, these are the three foundations of guidance. He says, and there are three follow-ups to this that perfect it or supplement it. The first thing is, أُمُورٌ هُدِيَ إِلَيْهَا جُمْلَةً وَلَمْ يَهْتَدِي إِلَى تَفَصِيلِهَا فَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٍ إِلَى هِدَايَةِ التَّفْصِيلِ فِيهَا He says, the reason why we're required to make this dua is because sometimes we have a general guidance, but we don't have the specific guidance, the specific, the guide regarding specific things, specific aspects. And it's those specific aspects that we require Allah's guidance for. Secondly, he says, أُمُورٌ هُدِيَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَجْهٍ دُونَ وَجْهٍ فَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَى تَمَامِ الْهِدَايَةِ فِيهَا لِتَكْمِيلِ هِدَايَةِ Sometimes we are, this is kind of the same as the first point, which is we know some things, some aside or perspective, we don't know the full perspective. So we need Allah to guide us to the full perspective. طيب. Thirdly, he says, الْأُمُورُ الَّتِي هُدِيَ إِلَيْهِ تَفْصِيلًا مِنْ جَمِيعِ وُجُوهِهَا فَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَى الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ عَلَى الْهِدَايَةِ وَالدَّوَامِ فِي عَلَيْهَا He says, those things where we have the full details, the full guidance, we need Allah's continued guidance along the way. So it's kind of the first point, right? فَهَذِهِ سُتَّةُ أُصُولٍ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِمَا يُعْزَمْ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ وَتَرْكِهِ وَيَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْمَاضِي أَمْرُ السَّابِعِ وَهُوَ أُمُورٌ وَقَعَتْ مِنْهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ جِهَةِ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ فَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَى تَدَارُكِهَا بِالتَّوْبِ مِنْهَا وَالتَّبْدِيلِ بِغَيْرِهَا He says, in the fourth, seventh point here, is that sometimes we certain things have one does certain things in a way that is improper or not in accordance with Allah's guidance. So we need the guidance to bring us back to our senses so that we may repent from those things and go back on the correct path. Yani, this is, I guess these are supplementary reasons, but I still think that the first reason is the most. The easiest to understand, and maybe just because it's ilfa, you know, you get used to certain replies or responses or answers to certain questions. So you're in the habit of saying the same answer, or you get used to it. So it becomes easier to comprehend that the reason why we ask Allah to guide us all the time is because we want the Allah to continue to guide us. We want the continuation of that guidance. But here Ibn al-Qayyim is saying, actually, no, there is more to it than meets the eye. And here are some of the reasons. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. I don't know how what you guys make of this. It's be interesting. But Ibn al-Qayyim here, he says, وَسِرُّ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى الْهِدَايَةِ فِي كُلِّ نَفَسٍ The secret behind all of this almost like he's going back against what he says, if you could think about it. He says that the servant is in desperate need, in dire need of guidance at all times, with every breath. في جميع ما يأتيه ويضره أصلاً وتفصيلاً وتثبيتاً. In its foundation, in its form, in its detail, and in its continuation. مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى مَزِيدِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْهُدَى عَلَى الدَّوَامِ. And we are in dire need of more knowledge and more guidance along the way. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ أَنْفَعُ وَلَا هُوَ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أَحْوَجُ مِنْ سُؤَالِ الْهِدَاءِ. He is in no need of anything more. He needs nothing more than this, to seek Allah, to ask Allah for guidance. فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَهْدِيَنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ وَأَنْ يُثَبِّتْ قُلُوبًا عَلَى دِينِهِ. We ask Allah to guide us upon the straight path and to keep our hearts firm on His deen. He says, number 19, this is the one before the last, inshallah. He says, وَأَمَّا الْمَسْأَلَ التَّاسِعَةَ عَشَرَ. Why did here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِهْدِيْنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, guide us to the straight path and not guide me, okay, to the straight path. فَقَدْ قَالَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ فِي جَوَابِهِ أَنَّ كُلَّ, some people have said guide us here, it's a far-fetched answer, is you're asking Allah on behalf of every organ in your body or every bit of your body. And he says, I think he said Ibn Qayyim says, I put this to Ibn Taymiyyah, and Ibn Taymiyyah dismissed this. He said, this is a very far-fetched answer. وَاسْتَضْعَفَهُ جِدًّا وَلَمْ يُرْضِهِ. He says, he was not happy with this answer at all. He says, وَالصَّوَابُ, Ibn Qayyim puts forward his answer as to why you say, اِهْدِنَا, guide us to the straight path. وَالصَّوَابُ أَنْ يُقَالْ, هَذَا مُطَابِقْ لِقَوْلِهِ, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone. This is in line with or in concordance with or corresponds with the ayah, you alone we ask for guidance, you in the plural, and you alone we seek help. He says it makes sense that we use the plural in both cases. فإن المقام مقام العبودية وافتقار إلى الرب تعالى. He says it's a station or a place where we are in a search of state of servitude and in need of Allah تعالى. وإقرار بالفاقة, and we are in a state of impoverishment. We're showing to Allah that we have nothing, and we are in need of His worship, and we need His and we seek His help and His guidance. فأتى فيه بصيغة ضمير الجمع أي نحن. I mean, so the meaning of this ayah is to say, we, us, our us servants, we recognize, we acknowledge you are our Lord. وَهَذَا كَمَا يَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ الْمَلِكِ الْعَظِيمِ شَأْنَهُ. And then he says, وَكَثَرْتُ عَبِيدِ وَكَثَرْتُ سَأَلِهِ. He says, it's almost just saying, we are all of us, the collective of believers, are all in this state. And you are the only one who can rescue us out of this, or you are the only one who can guide us, or you're the only one who can show us the right way, and you're the only one who can help us. All of us are in need of you. All of us. It's that, it has the emphasis. وَإِذَا تَأَمَّتَ أَدْعِيَةَ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, and if you contemplate the dua in the Quran, رَأَيْتَ عَامَّتَهُ فِي هَذَا النَّمَطِ. Most of the adiyah in the Quran are Rabbana. By the way, most of the adiyah in the Quran are in the form Rabbana, not Allahumma. That's an interesting point. We maybe get to one point. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا. He says, most of the idea in the Quran are with the word رَبَّنَا, رَبَّنَا, our Lord in the plural and not the singular. وَنَحْنُ دُعَاءَ آخَرَ الْبَقَرَ وَآخِرَ آلِ عِمْرَانَ. Like the dua in آخِرَ الْبَقَرَ, آخِرَ آلِ عِمْرَانَ, and so on, its beginning, and هو أكثر آدية القرآن. There is another thing to say here, which is I've heard some ulama say, which is that This ayah, or the reason why Surah Al-Fatiha uses this form, the plural form, is to show that this is a deen of community, that this is a deen of ummah, this is a deen of jama'ah, that this is not an individualistic deen, this is not a one person, this is a deen that seeks to recognize that we're a plurality, we're a community of believers, and we're all seeking the same thing, and therefore we all ought to help one another on this path to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Yeah, I've heard some people say this. I think Faril Ansari rahimahullah said this in his Tadabburat wa Ta'ammulat on Surah Al-Fatiha. Finally, final point inshallah, which is, what is the reality of Salat Al-Mustaqim? He said, you know, many people have attempted to answer, and I'm going to give you a very short answer. He says طريق Allah الذي يرتضيه لعباده. موصلا لهم إليه، ولا طريق إليه سواه، بل الطرق كلها مسدودة على الخلق إلا طريقه الذي نصبه على الألسن رسله وجعله موصلا لعباده إليه، وهو إفراده بالعبودية وإفراد رسله الرسول عفوا بالطاعة، فلا يشرك به أحدا في عبوديته. He says, صراط المستقيم, quite simply, is the one path that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased for His servants to follow. And it's the path that leads to Him, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And there is no other path. All other paths are shut in the face of the creation except this path, which He has appointed upon or via on the tongues of the messengers. And He made it the path towards Him. And this path requires us to single Him out for worship and single out His messenger for obedience. So we do not worship anyone besides Him. We do not associate partners in our servitude towards Him. And at the same time, we do not associate partners with His messenger in terms of whom we obey. So we do tajreed of tawheed and tajreed of mutaba'at al-rasul. And he says, he gives you some other things, statements of scholars to this effect. But that is the gist of it. He says, and whoever does this, he says, for example, وَهَذَا مَعْنَى, this is the meaning of what some of the arifin, those who true knows, the agnostics, who true knows of Allah, he says, إِنَّ السَّعَادَةَ, true happiness, and وَالْفَلَاعَ, and success, كُلُّهُ مَجْمُوعٍ فِي شَيْءٍ, is found in two things. صِدْق مَحَبَّتِهِ وَحُسْن مُعَامَلَتِهِ, is to be truthful in our dealings with Him, تبارك وتعالى, and to treat Him, to engage with Him or treat Him well. And he says, and this is found, Ibn Qayyim says, well, this is found in the, oh, this is the implication of the shahada of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. He says, all of the attempts to interpret or explain Surat al-Mustaqim fall into this. Husn, sidq, mahabbati, truly love Allah, to be truthful in our love of Him, tabarak wa ta'ala, and to treat Him well. Husn mu'amalati, to treat Him well. Or to be well, or to treat Him well, is husn mu'amalati, to engage or treat well. Now, when uktad dhalika wa'aqduhu, he says, and tuhibbuhu biqalbika kulli, wa turdihi bujuhdika kulli. And he says, the meaning of this, let's just unpack this statement a little bit. He says, is to love Allah with all your heart, وَتُرْضِيهِ بِجُهْدِكَ كُلِّهِ, and to try and please Him with all your efforts. فَلَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِكَ مَوْضِعِ إِلَّا مَعْمُورٌ بِمَحَبِّهِ. So there is no bit of your heart that is not occupied or that is not occupied with His love. That does not harbor His love. وَلَا تَكُونْ لَكَ إِرَادَةً إِلَّا مُتَعَلِّقَةً بِمَرَضَاتِهِ. And that there is no will. You do not have a will to do anything, except that will is tied to, or that will is there to please Him. You're doing something, anything you're about to do, that thing you're about to do, you're doing it for the sake of pleasing Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَالْأَوَّلْ يَحْصُلْ بِالتَّحَقُّقْ بِشَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا. The first one, i.e. the one about love, can happen when one has truly realized the meaning of La ilaha illallah. He says, and as for the second one, the one concerning will, then it occurs when you truly occurs by concurring or affirming or establishing or believing that Muhammad is Rasulullah. وَهَذَا هُوَ الدِّينُ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْهُدَى عَفُونَ وَدِينُ الْحَقِّ. This is the guidance and the true religion. وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ الْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ. And the meaning of which is to know the truth and act upon it. وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ مَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ بِهِ رُسُلَهُ وَالْقِيَامِ بِهِ. And the meaning of that is, he keeps on unpacking it. He says, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ, the meaning of all this is to know Allah truly, to know what He has sent with, the message He sent, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message He sent the messengers with, and to live your life according to that, or to establish that. Qiyam bihi. طيب, one, mashallah, 90 minutes exactly. And I think we'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. The other bit, as I said, sort of a couple of hundred pages down the line, when that was of relevance, or that was interesting, I think was where Ibn al-Qayyim breaks down the meaning of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So unless we'll stop the share here, I don't know if anyone has any comments, questions, suggestions, or anything of the kind. Otherwise, we'll wrap up, inshallah. And hopefully, we'll have a session next week. Hopefully. Hold on, there's something. And perhaps a session the week after, which is the final Thursday before Ramadan, inshallah. I just saw your messages now regarding the panel. Could it not be plural because this dua is to be recited by... Yes, that's another point, which is that Ihdina is also because the Imam recites this surah in the salah. So it makes sense that he's making this dua on behalf of the congregation behind him. And therefore the words Ihdina in the plural is used. That's another reason. It's a sound reason. And Ar-Razi in his tafsir goes into countless reasons as to why this is. But my recollection maybe, it's been a while, but I don't recall him mentioning these specific reasons, the ones that Ibn al-Qayyim comes up with. If there are no comments or anything else to add, inshallah, we shall end there. بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى جزاكم الله خيرا وأسك الله عز وجل to guide the straight path. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. جزاكم الله خيرا إخواني الكرام, بارك الله فيكم. Thank you so much for attending. I hope to see you next session inshallah with the third volume. In the meanwhile, if you can read or flick through بداية الفوائد third volume, then that would be greatly appreciated, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.